both public speaking and writing a book, and or really anything worthwhile doing, takes practice and takes dedication and takes getting there and grinding it out and being okay if it's messy and it stinks the first time. But the 10th time you do it and the 20th time you do it and the 50th time you do it is going to be that much better. And then you're just going to have to do it some more and keep getting better at it. So it's just, yeah, stay dedicated, stay persistent, and take the opportunities you can get.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. I'm your host, Caspi Bias. For this week's episode, we're diving into a topic that many young professionals and aspiring authors will find valuable, how to publish a book as an adult. Our guest today is Robert Carnes. Robert is a multimedia communicator and writer, well-versed in both digital and print media. Robert has over a decade of experience in marketing, communications, and media relations. He's the author of a number of books, including The Original Storyteller and The Story Cycle. Robert also serves as the marketing manager of Green Melon Media, a digital marketing agency dedicated to building a brighter web, supporting businesses with comprehensive marketing solutions, from strategy to implementation. In today's episode specifically, we'll be covering things that include how to publish a book, how to promote your book, how to decide if self-publishing or traditional publishing is right for you, and more. If you're a fan of our podcast, you're going to love the Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias animated series. Each week alongside our podcast episodes, we release captivating animated teasers that capture the essence of every conversation. To check out this animated series, head over to the show description, where you'll find a direct link waiting for you. Welcome back to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. First of all, hi, Robert. How are you? How are things?
Doing well.
Perfect. Perfect. If you could explain for our audience what it is that you do for a living.
So I am the marketing manager at a small digital marketing agency just north of Atlanta. It's called Green Melon. We mostly do, again, digital marketing things like websites, content marketing, marketing strategy, and the strategy and the content pieces are the two biggest kind of areas of responsibility for me as the marketing manager. We help a range of clients, mostly small businesses, again, locally here to Atlanta, kind of take control of their online presence. Marketing is a big part of what I do. I also am a freelance copywriter. I help a few other businesses kind of on the side. I have my own clients that I do copywriting things for, blogging and writing all sorts of different marketing copy. I'm a published author, which obviously we're going to talk about a little bit more later in this episode. So yeah, that's a little about me and what I do.
So audience members, Robert has all the credentials and all the credit in general in regard to all things communication and marketing. So definitely looking forward to having you guys tune into this particular conversation and learn as much as possible from Robert. How exactly did you get into your line of work?
Sort of by accident, which may be a common refrain from your guests who are a certain point into your career, because plan A almost never works out and usually get to plan like W or X, like way on down the alphabet. So I went to college at the University of Georgia to get a journalism degree. So I thought I was going to write for newspapers and magazines and do print journalism stuff, which I still absolutely use a lot of those same skills. I don't regret my degree at all. I got a minor in English as well. So obviously a lot of stuff around writing and communication, like you said. So I think that my education has certainly still served me well, but I have drifted a little bit from the journalism path. When I got out of school, I started working in marketing for a couple different nonprofits around Atlanta and kind of moved to a couple different organizations. And that's kind of how I got my start, was in smaller organizations where I kind of had to learn how to do all of the different marketing things. So I had to be the web guy, and I had to be the social media guy, and I had to send all the emails and take lead on all of the different communication pieces, which I think has also really helped me. That experience has been really beneficial as I've gone into a marketing agency where now I can specialize and focus just on the part that I enjoy, which is the writing, that strategy and analytics side of things, helping from a very high level for our clients and other businesses. But having done all of the different things within several different organizations first really helped me, because now I understand how a website works, even if I don't have to be the one to do it. I understand how graphic design works, even if I'm not the one who actually has to do it on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, I think just getting that kind of very broad level experience and exposure to a lot of different things within my industry has been really, really helpful now, especially as I go deeper and kind of specialize, thankfully, into the things that I enjoy doing. there's so many more details to it than just that. Once you get in 10, 15 years into your career, there's all sorts of stories of the things that you learned and the things that didn't go well. And another common refrain is I certainly learned more from my failures and the times that I had bad jobs, and I had plenty of bad jobs, but learned a lot of what I now want in a good career and when the things that I actually want to go towards and the things that I can kind of ignore and move away from. So again, all good experiences. Everyone has a different experience and perspective, but that's mine. And that's what's led me to this point in my career.
That's awesome. That's great too, that you're able to go more into your specialization of things that you actually enjoy. It can be very difficult, especially coming first out of college, to get into the field in which you actually enjoy and actually start out within that area. So for you to start out in many different areas and then come to the consensus that you are right now, that's really inspirational.
And a lot of people don't understand exactly what they want to do. I mean, you think maybe you know what you want, but you haven't done it before. And sometimes people get the opportunity to do something that they like, but they find out, oh, well, this really is more just a passion personally or a hobby, a thing that, you know, should be not done for work. And when you do it as a job, it kind of loses some passion. Or some people just have no idea what they really want to do and what they want to focus on right coming out of college or coming into their career. And so getting a wider exposure and sense of things helps you also narrow down the field of what that needs to be. And hopefully you're able to kind of start honing in and drifting in that direction over the long term.
Now we're getting into the nitty gritty. Our topic for today is how to publish a book. I know there are plenty of adults out there, both young professionals and professionals of different ages here and there, who have always wanted to publish a book, but didn't necessarily know what steps to take in that. That's really what our conversation is about today. So let's talk about your book specifically. I'm going to go out here on a limb here and ask if you have your book present thus far, and if you'd be able to give us like a sneak peek or a little bit from your book that you'd be able to share as an example. Just a small snippet of one of your stories, for example, one of your favorite ones that you'd like to share with the audience.
That's putting me on the spot a little bit. Let's see what might be something interesting. I mean, it would take a little while to actually read verbatim from the book itself. So I don't know if I'll do that, but I think maybe, I mean, I guess where to turn to from, but the very beginning. So the introduction itself talks about Chick-fil-A and their marketing presence, which is obviously very well known. For most of their kind of marketing history, they've been known for their cows. They eat more, you know, chicken cows, right? That especially, again, living in Atlanta, that's one of the reasons why it's a very applicable example to use. But, you know, it's been this very humorous message. It's been one that's very consistent and very well known. But they pivoted, I want to say within the past 4 or 5 years, they haven't done away with the cows, but they had a very new launch of a new kind of marketing initiative and campaign. It's about the little things is kind of the name of the campaign. And I'm sure you may be familiar with these. They've had radio spots. They've had commercials. They've had, I think, some billboards and print ads that showcases some of their employees talking with their customers. And they sit kind of on a red couch that's on a white background, which kind of speaks to Chick-fil-A's brand of the red and white. But then they talk about their customer service and what the employee did to go above and beyond serving this particular customer, right? So in the book itself, I kind of explain some of the actual examples of what that's looked like. But the point is that when we're telling the stories of these specific customers, right, it's not just about the cows. It's not just about this fun overarching brand piece. It's got a lot more personal. It's had some very good success and been very well received by the public. And I think it's because they're in a very short and connected way, they're telling these stories. And they're not talking about the chicken. They're not talking about the chicken sandwiches. They're not talking about their menu items. They're talking about this personal connection between the customer and the business. That's what resonates with people. We're able to literally, like Chick-fil-A has done, showcase the stories of our customers. That's when we're going to have success. And that's kind of the overarching thing of what the book is about, is telling the stories of our customer, putting them at the forefront and saying, hey, you are what we're about. You are why we're in business. We want to help you out. This is how we're doing that. And when you can elevate the stories of how you've helped out other customers, oftentimes that's what will attract new customers and give you more stories to tell. That's the idea behind the story cycle, is that those stories cycle themselves and inspire new stories that your business is able to tell.
Nice. I get it. Stories, the cycle. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Guys, definitely check out his book and just the miniature story that you summarized in itself. That's just like, I've seen commercials of, yeah, Chick-fil-A is basically all over the place, but I've seen commercials even on TV of how you're mentioning like the red couch and the customers and the customer service basically talking amongst themselves. I get it that the main thing is really the people and pushing that out toward the public to keep them engaged and overall create that community and continue to create that community. When and why did you decide to write and publish your own stories or books?
Like many people, like you said, I think there's a common desire for people to write and publish books. I see all sorts of statistics, and I don't know where they come from, about, you know, 80% or 85% of people want to publish a book, but, you know, less than a percentage of people, you know, 5 or 4% or whatever the study shows, actually end up writing and publishing a book. So it is a common desire, but it is a very rare kind of thing to actually do it. I was in that kind of majority of people who it was a dream to eventually do it one day. And you mostly, I mean, just like creating a business, entrepreneurship is also kind of a dream that not as many people take on, but you have to look for a gap in the marketplace. What's a book that you would want to read that hasn't been written yet? And so I just happened to kind of stumble across that. Several years ago, I self-published my first book in 2017. It's just a devotional about storytelling in the Bible and in Christianity. And so it's a faith-based book. And that was kind of the space that I was working in. I was working for a Christian nonprofit at the time. So it fit well. I had the experience and I had the connections in that space to be able to write that book. And so I, at first, just wanted to write a short ebook and maybe share it with some of my friends and maybe sell it as a PDF online, because there's different places to do that. But as I was going through the process of creating the content, a friend of mine had just self-published his first book. You know, he kind of shared with me and coached me through the process of, you know, hey, self-publishing is actually a lot more realistic than you might think. Amazon, and there's several other self-publishing platforms, but Amazon is kind of the most well-known one, the biggest one. There's a platform on there, Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP is their platform, where basically anybody can upload a book, content a book, and it will go on to Amazon's listing, and they will actually print on demand, so you can get physical copies of a book that people can order, which again, it makes it feel a lot more real once you've done that. And so, yeah, just learning that process, because it's pretty straightforward. They make it fairly easy to do. But at the same time, the work of getting the book and the content, making it unique, understanding your audience, making sure that the quality of the book is really high, making sure that the appearance, the design of the book is really high quality. Those are the things that, again, are achievable, but you have to work really, really hard to get there. And thankfully, because of my experience in marketing, content marketing, and all this kind of different other things, I was able to lay out the book myself, work with a graphic designer I knew to design the cover. I was able to get people I knew who to help edit the book. And I, you know, I was able to bootstrap all of it together myself because of my experience and my connections. So that was kind of my first experience. And I knew how hard a work it was, that I enjoyed it so much and enjoyed the opportunities that it afforded me, that I wanted to do it again and again. So now I published my third book last year, in plans of doing the next one, hopefully within the next year. Now it's a passion, it's an ongoing pursuit that I want to keep doing and keep finding different avenues to write more books. And all my books so far have been about kind of that idea of storytelling. What are the different aspects of storytelling? How can we learn more about stories and what they matter to our lives? So there's a whole lot more to dive into there. But again, that's a topic that is very well known and very attractive to a lot of people. And so that's kind of my niche and the audience that I'm going after.
Congratulations, by the way. Thanks. Like, just publishing a book in general is just an awesome experience and an awesome opportunity to share with others that are around you. And just that achievement and accomplishment is excellent. I myself actually had published a book during the pandemic, and I always wanted to publish a book. So I was in that category as well of like, or I've always wanted to do it, but maybe sometime in the future. But I've finally moved into the I'm going to do it and I actually published something category, specifically when the pandemic hit. Mostly because I was like, oh, this is feeling very apocalypsey. What do I want to put out there in the world before the world ends?
Sure.
So that was definitely something that was on my bucket list as far as publishing a book. So it really is rewarding. And I did the same thing as well, published through Amazon and KDP. As far as their publishing services, they make it very, very simple. They get straight to the point, simple and easy as far as the process, easy to understand. And I just really appreciated that platform in itself. Not to say to our audience members, I'm sponsored by them, but that would be awesome as well. Feature-wise, yeah, it was just a very excellent experience. You had mentioned that you noticed the focus as far as your books weren't necessarily out there within the public. So you decided to write those stories yourself. How were you able to find out that what topics you were writing on wasn't necessarily out there within the market? What type of research did you engage in to make sure that that was out there before you moved forward?
Nothing super sophisticated, searching on Google and Amazon to see what was available. And I will say, I mean, because my most recent book is, you know, the first one was kind of storytelling from a faith-based and Christian perspective. The most recent one, which I'm, you know, in the process of still promoting and talking about, is storytelling from a business and marketing and brand perspective, since obviously that is part of my career background. That is not something that is an untapped marketplace necessarily. There are lots of books that are for storytelling within a business. And that was part of my research, was looking up those books. I still decided and obviously made the decision that there was enough opportunity to write another book, and there was enough that hadn't been said in these previous, you know, however many, that I could still write one. And I read probably a dozen or more of those books. There's probably triple that amount out there that are available to purchase. So I read a kind of cross sampling of them. That was a lot of my research, was just reading these books and seeing what had been said, what hadn't been said, and making sure that my book was informed by them, trying not to copy them, but trying to kind of be inspired by them, but then also saying something unique and different from what they had said before, and intentionally kind of carving out a space within that larger topic. And one of the things specifically that I can call out that I wanted to make sure that was different, because several of the books that I had read on storytelling in kind of your business or your brand, they were good, but many of them didn't actually tell stories themselves. They had a lot of maybe practical tips and advice, and some of them even told stories, but it was usually just from the author's perspective. You know, when I did this, or when I did this storytelling workshop with this business, and they would talk themselves up, which is fine. And that's valid to, you know, speak from your perspective. But I very intentionally in my book researched a lot of real life examples of stories of other businesses, ones that I have not worked with and all that kind of stuff, but just stories from our culture and stories from industries and that kind of stuff, and pulled them all together to highlight each of the different tips or tricks that I'm addressing in the book. I'm trying to give as many examples as I can, for one, so that we can learn from those examples, but second of all, because it just frankly makes it a lot more entertaining and hopefully makes it a book that is much more enjoyable to read, because you've got, again, the practical side of things and how to apply this in your own situation, but you've, you know, kind of been entertained for a couple pages because of this actual story. And that, because that's part of what the book is about, right? Is stories are entertaining, stories grab people, stories inform people, that you're able to remember things a lot better if you hear a story. So I was trying to implement that within the book and practice what I was preaching, so to speak.
That sounds excellent. What are some things that you learned from publishing a book that others didn't tell you about?
Well, basically everything. I think most people don't know what it's like to publish a book. So, I mean, obviously things like, hey, it's a lot more achievable than you might think. And gosh, publishing as an industry is very convoluted and confusing at times. And that's why it helps to have people who've done it before, or been there, or, you know, you've got to do a lot of work to find those resources. And so there were so many different answers that I could give here. But I think one of the biggest takeaways is that once you've actually pushed your book out there and you've published it, which is, again, like you said, a great achievement, we've both done it. We've both kind of reached that mountaintop, and that's awesome. And it's worth celebrating. Absolutely. To be kind of a published author is a great thing, and not something that most people are able to achieve. However, it's almost like that's the start. That's not the finish line to a race. That's the starting line of another race, which is promoting your book and talking about it and selling your book. Because if you have put all this time and effort and attention into creating this thing, you want other people to read it. Hopefully. You don't want it to just sit there on Amazon and have three orders that's from you and, you know, your friends. You want to hopefully have as many book sales as you're able to and reach that audience that you're trying to get to and all those other things. So actually promoting it, which again, I'm in marketing. That's part of what I do. I understand that. And yet it's still a very difficult thing to constantly be talking about it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm on this podcast to talk to you today, is to let people know how excited I was to write the book and how much I think people would get from the book. And it can feel very sleazy. Like, a lot of people don't like to be salesmen, myself included. I don't want to kind of be self-promotional. It kind of feels weird. It makes you feel awkward. But at the same time, if you believe in what you've written, and if you truly think that it's something that's going to be of value to that person, then you kind of owe it to yourself and to them a little bit to actually tell them about it, because they could get something from it, right? And you're getting a little bit of money back because they bought a copy of your book. But more importantly, they've gotten more value than the $15 or $20 or whatever they spent to purchase a copy of your book. So that's the hard thing, is constantly keeping that up. And even like years later, still promoting it and finding new opportunities to talk about the book and push it and do all these kind of things. So that's not a requirement, I guess. I get, you know, you can still publish a book and say you've done that and then walk away from it and ignore it. But if you really want to make it worth your time, you have to find ways to keep pushing it and keep promoting, which can be even more exhausting than the process of actually publishing a book in the first place. So that's something most people don't think about.
Let's dive deeper into that point. What were some ways in which you yourself continued to consistently promote your book out there to the public to make sure that people not only say, oh, wow, that's awesome that you published a book, but that they actually go ahead and purchase the book and leave ratings and reviews and everything?
I mean, the easy answer is obviously doing things like going on this podcast and talking to you about it. And I've gone on several more, and I'm recording actually another podcast that's talking about writing and storytelling later today as of the recording of this show. So yeah, that's the easy answer. You know, social media, all those kind of things that are a given kind of in this day and age. And that can be hard because people are being pushed so many different things on digital channels. So I try not to flood my social media accounts with just talking about myself and my book and all that. But the more difficult, but I think more effective answer is doing things and finding areas where your customers are and you can kind of connect with them personally. So going to, like, again, this is a book about marketing. It's a book about business. So I go to local marketers events. I've gotten involved with AMA Atlanta, the American Marketing Association chapter here in Atlanta, which I know you're a part of as well. And that's one of the ways we got connected.
Yes.
So yeah, going to events and groups and organizations like that and just talking to people about it, telling one person at a time about your book. And if they have a personal connection with it, then they're probably hopefully going to tell their friends. So yeah, that's the kind of the slower, less scalable way to do it, but it's a lot more effective. You can get more people. Like, most people are like excited to buy a book, especially, oh my gosh, I met the author. Like, and he told me about like what the book is about. So like, that's the easy way for me to sell a couple copies of the book. Yeah, sure. If I had, you know, 100,000 social media followers, I could blast it out there and maybe some people would buy it. That's the scalable, but a lot less effective way of doing it. But the real answer is doing a mix of all of those different things, like finding all the different ways that you can talk about your book, because frankly, you could do it and talk about it until you feel like you're blue in the face, but most of your audience and your market is not going to hear it because they're so bombarded with everything else. So the other challenge is just keep pushing through and keep talking about it and keep telling people about it and how awesome it is until you're just like sick about it and you can't stand the book anymore. But that's maybe the first time that somebody's heard about it years later when you connect with them in a random event or something like that. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but taking advantage of as many of them as you can, especially that personal one-on-one connection way, has been the way that I've slowly sold copies of my books.
Kudos to you for that as well. So as Robert, I mentioned, we've met at an AMA event not too long ago. And so he actually had a booth outside where students could come up to him and talk to him more about StoryCycle and just getting additional information from there. So definitely putting yourself out there and connecting with people one-on-one and going to those different types of events, especially locally, is an awesome opportunity to go ahead and get engaged as possible. I've been going to a lot of public speaking events here and there. So that could also be something else too, like just promoting people, your particular book, by asking to speak at like storytelling conferences or anything in regard to relation to the topic that you talk about in your book and bringing that up toward the end of the conversation of like, oh, hey, so since you guys have also listened to my book on this panel, speaking of which, this is my book, just going more into detail. That would also be an excellent way too, as far as just to self-promote and also another strategic way to get the word out to people. So rather than doing one-on-one, you reach as many people as possible who are also interested in that particular topic, since that whole room is in there to see you, hear more about your knowledge on the topic at hand. So
yeah, absolutely. And I've done events like that and I've spoken, and it can be challenging. I'm much more of a writer and I like to be behind the scenes rather than up on stage talking to people, but kind of had to learn to do it. And there are some people who write books to be able to get speaking opportunities, which is great. And that's frankly where more of the money is. Don't expect to get rich quick off of selling books. But for me, I do speaking engagements, even though that's the thing I enjoy less, so that I can then connections and the opportunities and the money to be able to then give back and write more books. It's a give and take.
What advice do you have for other young professionals out there who may feel the same way of not being quite as comfortable about public speaking, about their stories, and not as comfortable about promoting themselves once they actually publish their book?
I don't know if I'm the best person to give that advice because I'm still uncomfortable about it. I guess more than anything, it's just practice.
Well, you hide it. You definitely hide it, though.
Well, it's just, I mean, because I've done this before and I've done it enough times where I've gotten more comfortable, not because I'm some charismatic, dynamic speaker, but just because I've practiced it before and I've gotten up when I felt uncomfortable and when I've had those butterflies in my stomach and had to rehearse what I was going to say time and time again. You're just not going to get better at it until you do it more and more and more. And the same thing is true with writing. If you want to write a book, like the first version of the book you write is going to be terrible, but hopefully you are willing to write it, rewrite it 10, 12, 15 times until it's 5% better every time. And then you have something that's actually worth selling to somebody else and letting them read. So don't think that you're going to write something that's worth selling the first time. You have to keep doing it over and over and over again until you get there. And that's why it takes dedication and hard work. Both public speaking and writing a book, and or really anything worthwhile doing, takes practice and takes dedication and takes getting there and grinding it out and being okay if it's messy and it stinks the first time. But the 10th time you do it and the 20th time you do it and the 50th time you do it is going to be that much better. And then you're just going to have to do it some more and keep getting better at it. So it's just, yeah, stay dedicated, stay persistent, and take the opportunities you can get.
Very wise words. Yes. Robert, as far as additional tips and advice, let's talk about the difference between self-publishing versus actually going ahead and publishing through a company in particular. What course of action would you recommend for those who want to publish with the company versus self-publish?
There are many different options out there. Self-publishing is kind of the easiest one to grab, and that's what we've talked about. There's traditional publishing, which is most of what we know and what sells most books out there, right? The bestseller novels and the biggest authors who are publishing out there have literary agents, and they, you know, have a big publishing house that has its own, you know, they're doing all the marketing and stuff like that. The author doesn't have to do as much. So that's traditional publishing, which I have not gotten to and might want to one day, but it's just a lot more distant. It's a lot more difficult to get into, and for good reason, because there's a lot of money involved and they only want to take on the books that they know are going to sell really, really well. There is a middle ground, though, in between. It's kind of like hybrid publishing or partnership publishing. So there are presses out there that have connections and they're the experts in kind of knowing what to do with books and how to sell more. They can be a lot more open to taking on new authors and taking on people who are interested in selling books, but oftentimes it requires an investment on the author's part. So that's how I published my most recent book, was with a partnership publishing house. I had to invest some money. They invested some money in me and providing, you know, graphic design services and editing services and layout services and distribution services. Like, they handled all that kind of stuff, which was very nice for me because it was less work on my part, not no work on my part. It still took quite a bit of investment of time for me too. And I could appreciate that a lot more because I had done self-publishing first and I understood what it looked like to lay out a book and edit a book and design the cover and all those pieces. So it was nice to have a partner in that who can understand and distribute the book further because they have partnerships and connections beyond me. But it took an investment of money up front to be able to do that. And then the hope is that, okay, the book will sell well enough and I'll get, well, you know, enough opportunities to recoup that cost and then some, and maybe make, you know, some actual money on top of it. So that's kind of the biggest differences between the different levels of publishing. Hybrid publishing is a nice kind of in between beyond self-publishing and traditional, but you got to find what's right for you and what's right for the book that you've written. And it's been good to kind of get experience in both and see some of the kind of differences in between.
I haven't heard of hybrid publishing before. I took the other route as far as just self-publishing, and I'll admit that is definitely easier than going with the big time companies, because you can get discouraged of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to publish a book. This is going to be awesome. Oh, how do I get in contact with, oh no, this is just a lot of work. Oh no, they might not even consider, oh, okay. But just being able to publish yourself is very rewarding in itself because you get that sense of achievement, that sense of accomplishment. That's very important and motivating to keep you moving forward. What last tips or advice would you give to young professionals and recent college grads who are curious about writing and publishing a book on their own?
Certainly listen to this episode, take notes.
Yes.
I mean, I think practicing writing is a huge piece of it. I mean, it's something that I do a lot in my profession, but I also do on the side. I'm a freelance copywriter, so I do it, you know, outside of my work for work, but then I also do creative writing on top of that, do publishing books. I mean, like, I do a lot of writing through the course of my day and week and month. And that's the only reason I'm able to kind of get as many of these opportunities is because I've really honed my skills and gotten a lot of different experiences and exposure. So you just have to write a lot. I think you also have to read a lot as well. That's one of the things that motivates me to write, is to publish books that are as good as the books that I've read. I mean, I read lots and lots of different books every year, and even lots of books at a time, just because it's something I enjoy. It's a passion that I pursue, and I feel like I'm a better writer because I see what good writing looks like. And obviously that's what has helped me to kind of find those gaps in the marketplace and understand what other books can be written and can be sold, because I know what books are already out there. So yeah, just reading a lot and writing a lot and just doing it as frequently as you can, and even stuff like writing short form very publicly, putting out blog posts on a regular basis, or even putting out, you know, longer social media articles and that kind of thing, that will get you not necessarily a ton of exposure. Like, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to practice in public. And then that way you can slowly get feedback on what was effective and what wasn't effective. What pieces did people actually respond to versus not respond to? And then that way, you know, okay, well, people respond to when I wrote, you know, long social media art posts about this topic. Okay, I'm going to write more and more of those kind of things. And as you do that, you actually, oftentimes people will do that to get a lot of content that they can then reshape into a book. Like, that's kind of the practice, is writing, you know, drafts over a long period of time and then pulling it all together, curating your own content, and then republishing it in kind of a book form. So that's not necessarily easy, but that's a way a lot of kind of content creators nowadays are writing books and that sort of thing, because it helps them get feedback live and they can kind of adjust on the fly as they write.
And that way too, it's less intimidating, because I know with writing a chapter book in itself, it can seem definitely intimidating as far as like, oh wow, I have to write all this material, or I want to write all this, but it's a lot. So just actually sitting down and writing short pieces from time to time and then collecting them all together, that's very wise, very strategic. Just to wrap things up, speaking of writing and publishing, would you be able to tell us a little bit more about your new book, The Story Cycle?
Yeah, I mean, I think I covered it pretty well, kind of the core concepts behind the book itself. If you are interested in learning more, storycyclebook.com is where you can read a sample of the book. You can kind of see it. You can also get all the links to purchasing it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or there's so many different places where you can buy it across the web, which is why it's a good practice to build a website around it and kind of send people to all the different places. So storycyclebook.com is kind of where you can learn all about it there. robertcarnes.org is my personal website. So you can find, obviously, links to all the books and all the work that I do, social media links included, so in case you want to connect. So those are the biggest places just to reach out and learn more. That's the high level of how you can get in touch with me.
Awesome. I wanted to use this whole pun throughout the entire session. Right. That's how you can get. I'm always one for like puns, like cheesy puns.
Yep, that's definitely a pun. There you go.
That's funny. All right, Robert. Well, thank you so much for coming on to today's show and for coming on to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. Again, I very much appreciate it, and I'm sure our audience appreciates the tips and advice that you've provided to them as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Robert, thank you so much for coming on to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. And as always, thank you, audience, for listening. Tune in next week for an all-new episode. I'm Caspi Bias. Talk to you next time. Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias is a production of C Bias Productions, LLC. For more episodes of Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias, visit Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.